All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Pei Gimel. We're going to begin at the six lines up on the bottom, Pei Beis on the base. So says the Gemara, from the Mishnah had a machlokes as to how much food you have to go ahead and include in the Eruv. So the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, his statement in the Mishnah was, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka omer, mikikar bepundion, midalit se'in besela, which literally means a loaf purchased for a pundion. Pundion is a coin. When four sa'a of grain are purchased for a sela. Reb Shimon, on the other hand, said, shtei yados likikar, mishalosh likav. 2/3 of a loaf, in which there are 3 to a kav. So both sides, the Gemara is going to spend a good amount today just kind of going back and forth with a lot of these measurements. So Amud Aleph will be pretty much, we'll read it, and we're not going to spend too much time on the calculations of the various measurements, but we'll, okay, good. It says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer. Tana, so we'll say the Tana quoted, Ukrovim Divrayan Lihios Shavim. That the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka and Rabbi Shimon are not actually that far apart. They're actually very similar in shear. So the Gemara says, "Is that true, me dummy?" To Rabbi Yehuda Saver, she's Rabbi Yochanan Saver. Rabbi Yochanan holds arba seudos alakava. Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can go ahead and get 4 seudos for every kav. To Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Shimon, teisha seudos alakava. Rabbi Shimon holds that you can get 9 meals out of a kav. So both say obviously that's pretty far apart. Amar Rabbi Chista. No, because take a third from the pundion out of the measurement, because that amount was given to the chenveni as payment. Okay, but that still gives us 9 for one and 6 for the other. So we'll say the point is that's still not close together. Rather, it must like the other opinion of Rav Chista, the Amar, Tzemehen Mechtsa Lechenveni. No, it's not a third of the pundion that's taken out, but rather what? It's half of the pundion that's taken out and given to the chenveni. Va'akati lemar tisha ulemar tamni. Aye, but still, according to one, you'll have 9. According to the other, you'll have 8. To which the Gemara says, Hainu dika'amar ukrovim divrehem lihios shavim. Aye, so that's why the Tanakh begins by saying what Rabbi Yochanan said. That Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon are not saying the same thing, but what? But their shiurim are close. So now we've gotten their shiurim to 8 and 9 respectively. That's close. So the Gemara says, Kasha de Rav Chista ad Rav Chista. So now the Gemara points out that, interestingly enough, Rav Chista seems to contradict himself. Because in one case, Rav Chista says that we give the chenveni 1/3 of a pundion for his wages, and in the other statement of Rav Chista, we're giving the chenveni 1/2 of the pundion for his wages. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Hodika Yohev Balabayis Tzivi, the wage you pay to the chenveni depends on what? Depends on if you gave him wood or not. So I'll say, interestingly enough, if you give him wood, meaning firewood, that gives him the ability to go ahead and take care of his baking, and what? That means you have to pay him less. You have to pay him less. If you're giving him wood, then you only have to pay him 1/3 of a pundion in his wage. But if you're not giving him wood, which means that in the production of the bread, Hina has to go ahead and supply materials, then what? Then the wage that you give him is 1/2 of the pundion. Says the Gemara. Chatsia la beis hamanuka v'chatsia chatsia lifsal sagavia. So I will say, after the Mishnah finished speaking about Eruv, the Mishnah then got into other matters where we talk about a loaf. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said, for example, if you walk into a house that has tsaras, so lemaisa, in order for your, remember we pointed out yesterday, there are 2 things that can happen when you are in a home with tsaras. Your body could become tameh, and your clothing could become tameh. So it takes less time, meaning you have to spend less time in the house for your body to become tameh, and more time in the house for your clothing to become tameh. So the Mishnah says, what's the shear? So the shear for your clothing becoming tummy is the amount of time that it takes to eat 1/2 a loaf. The amount of the shear for your body becoming tummy is the amount of time that it takes what? For your body to become tummy, the amount of time that it takes for your body to become tummy if you enter into a house of tzaras is what? The amount of time that it takes to eat 1/4 of a loaf. Top of Pei Gimel. Tana. Furthermore, we taught v'chetzi chetzia letamei tumas ochlin. Not only that, but again, lemaisa, if you have 1/8, chetzi chetzia means 1/2 of the previous half. If you If you have 1/8, that's enough of a shear for Tumas Ochrin. The Rebbe will say, what does that mean? Now what this is saying over here is, in order for a food to become Tameh, so Lamaisa, how large does the piece of food have to be? So the Gemara now says, even one eighth of the loaf is enough to go ahead and be Mekabel Tumas Ochrin. V'tana didan my taima lo tani Tumas Ochrin. So why does our Tana not include the shear? Right, Rebbe will say, if you already included the shear for the body becoming Tameh, the shear for the clothing becoming Tameh, why doesn't he include the shear for Tumas Ochlin? To which the Gemara says, Mishum delo shavu shi'urayu lahadadi. Because literally the shi'urim are not equal to each other. Look at Rashi for just a moment. That's right across in Rashi. Delo shavu shi'urayu lahadadi. Lo hav yeshir Tumas Ochlin chatzi shir psul gviya mitzuntzam. Ele yesh omrim pachos. Yesh omrim yosach. And so also, I remember the way the Mishnah was structured was, It only included shiurim that were exactly half of one another. So, for example, the shear for your body clothing becoming tameh is a half a loaf, and the shear for your body becoming tameh is what is half of that. But interestingly enough, as much as the Brice over here phrased that the shear for Tumas Ochlin is half of the shear for which your body would become tameh, i.e., 1/8, not everybody agrees with that. It's not an exact eighth. Now the Gemara is going to get into that. Kamashir, this anya, because the Raisa taught Kamashir, what is the shear for Tumas Ochlin? Meaning, what we're asking is, what is the minimum amount of food that is capable of being Makabel Tuma? So Kamashir, Chatzi Pras, a half of a loaf, which is Beis Beitzim Chaser Kima, which is the amount of 2 eggs, minus a little bit, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, Beis Beitzim Shochakos. Rabbi Yossi says, Beis Beitzim Shochakos, when we had Shochakos earlier on, with the Tefach Shochakos or Amma Shochakos. So Beis Beitzim Shochakos for our purposes means 2 large loose eggs, as opposed to meaning when you'd measure it, you'd measure the volume of the eggs loosely together. So the Gemara says, Shir Rebbe. Rebbe established the Shir as Beis Beitzim Va'od. 2 eggs and a little bit. Kama Va'od. What does it mean and a little bit? Echad Me Esrim Bebeitza. It means 2 eggs plus another 20th. 1/20th of an additional egg. Ve'ilu gabe Tumas Ochlin Tanya. Tanya, but yet when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, we learn Tanya Rabbi Nosan, Rabbi Dosa Amru, Kebeitza Sha'amru, Kamoa Uklipasa. But yet when we learn about Tumas Ochlin, we had Rabbi Nosan, Rabbi Dosa, who said that the shear for Tumas Ochlin is like an egg, along with its shell. The Chacham said, below Klipasa, without its shell, Amarav from Bar Papa, Amarav Chista, Zo Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. Aval Chachamim, the Chachamim say, Kebeitza u'mechza shochakos. But the Chachamim say that for Tumas Ochlin, the shear will be what? Like an egg and a half, loosely measured. Uman Chachamim, and who are the Chachamim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Okay? So the Gemara says, Pshita, the point over here, that all that's happening over here, the Gemara is trying to show you, is that Lamai said the reason why the Mishnah doesn't include the shear of Tumas Ochlin is why? Is because this shear is subject to dispute. So Pshita Shochakos Asala Ashma Inon. So it's clear that the reason why this is being brought down is because the Bryce is coming to teach us that with these measurements, they're not exact measurements, but rather they're what we call loosely measured measurements. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came along, he said, Amar, Shiger Bunyos Lerebi. Well, say, listen to this. So Bunyos is the name of a person, sent to Rebbe the following thing. He sent to him, Modia Dikundis Dimin Neusa. He sent Rebbe a Modia Dikundis from Neusa. I will say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Bunyos, Shem Ha'ish, name of a person. Modia Kundus Kundasa, Shem Ha'sa. So apparently, Modia Kundasa is the name of the measurement. Is the name of the measurement. So he sent in the name of this measurement, this Sa'a, Demin Neusa, from the city of Neusa. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vishir Rebbe, now I'll say, when Rebbe measured this Sa'a, so what did the Sa'a measurement come out to? Vishir Rebbe, Masan, Vishav Lushva Esrei Bein. And it turned out that it measured 217 eggs. So the shear, right, the size of this saw was 217 eggs. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Ha sa'ah deheicha." So we'll say, "What sa'ah is this equivalent to?" So what we'll say, "Sa'ah is a value measurement." So we'll discuss that. Interestingly enough, there are different types of sa'ahs. So which sa'ah does this correlate to? Edomit Boris. So apparently there was a desert sa'ah. A desert sa'ah, which we'll say, interestingly enough, is based on the sa'ah of the Jewish people during our time in the desert. So if you're talking about a desert sa'ah, it can't be the desert sa'ah. Why? Yeah. Because kuf mem dalet havya. Because the desert sa'ah measures the amount of 144 eggs. 144 eggs. And remember, this sa'ah that was sent from Bunyos to Rebbe measured how much? Measured 217. Vid Yerushalmis. And if it's a Yerushalmi sa'ah, that can't be either. Why? Because that measures kufayin gimel havya. That's 173 eggs. V'idit tziporis, and if it's a tziporis sa'ah, then reish zayin havya. Then that measures 207 eggs. But Rabosai, bottom line is what? No one is measuring up to this particular sa'ah that Bunyas sent Rebbe. Li'olam de tziporis. In reality, this particular sa'ah that we're calling this modia de kundis, this modia de kundis sa'ah, is really the equivalent of a tziporis sa'ah. But how can that be so? Because the Modia de Kundis Sa'ah, remember, was 217, and the Tziporis Sa'ah was 207. You know, that's very interesting. I see Chalasa Shadi Alayhu. I'll say, interestingly enough, the Modia de Kundis Sa'ah was a total measurement that included the amount that was going to be removed for Chala. But yet, apparently, the Tziporis Sa'ah of 207 is the amount minus Chala. So the Gemara now suggests, if you take the Chala amount and add it back to the Tzipori Sa'ah, what will you get? You will get the I keep on forgetting the name of it. You will get the Modia de Kundis of 217. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Chalasa kama havyon. How much is Chala? Tamni. Chala will be the equivalent of 8 eggs. So the Gemara says, Akati batzerlei. So you're still going to be deficient, because also remember, if you take the 8 and you add it to the Tzipori Sa'ah, then what? How much was the Tzipori Sa'ah? So the Tzipori Sa'ah was 207. Add the 8 to it, you get 215. Right? Still, what do we have in the Modia de Kundus Sa'ah? You still have 217, so you're still off. So the Gemara says, Ella Aisi Va'odos de Rebbe. So we'll say, remember again, earlier, Rebbe had additional measurements for adding on to the Sa'ah. So add on the additional measurements of Rebbe, Shadi Alayhu. Ihachi Havilu Tfei. Someone says you can't do that, because what happens? If now you go ahead and add back to the Tzipori Sa'ah the amount of Chala plus the additional measurements of Rebbe, then what's going to happen? You're actually going to surpass the 217 of the Modia de Kundus, to which the Gemara says, Kivan de lo Havi Kabeitza lo Chashivle. No, because once you add back the Shiurim of Rebbe, what'll happen? You'll be less than an egg's worth more than the Modia de Kundus. Anything that's a little bit less than an egg's worth is not considered to be halachically significant. So we'll say, essentially, the way we go ahead and understand the sa'ah that was given to Rebbe was you added back the challah plus the additional shiurim of Rebbe, and that was the sa'ah that Rebbe received. Tana Rabbanan. We'll say, the only reason, remember, this is a total absolute tangent. The only reason, well, it's not a total absolute tangent, meaning it is related to the Shiurim in the Mishnah, but the way we got into this is only by indicating the reason why the Mishnah did not get into the laws of Tumas Ochlin is because Tumas Ochlin are not a precise science. When you say not a precise science, it means that they're subject to Machlok, as opposed to these other Shiurim that are not. Tana Rabbanan. No, all together.
But if they're all over the kitchen,
they're not mitzaref. They don't combine. Correct. That's true in general for all halachos that govern food. It always has to be one entity. Tana Rabbanan. Sa'ah Yerushalmis Yisera al Midbaris Shasos. It's now that I will say the Gemara compares the sa'ah measurements. So the sa'ah, the Jerusalem sa'ah is greater than the desert sa'ah by a sixth. The Shal Tziporis and the Tziporis sa'ah. Remember, I will say Tzipori is a city in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So for some reason, Tzipori had its own sa'ah. V'shal Tziporis is Ser Yerushalmis Shasos. And ultimately, the Tzipori sa'ah is greater than the Yerushalmi sa'ah by a sixth. Nimtzeis, Shal Tziporis is Sera Amid Baris Shlish. Therefore, it turns out that the Tziporis saw is greater than the desert saw by a shlish. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Shlish d'man, one third of what? E lema shlish d'midbaris. If you want to say that the Tziporis saw is greater than the midbaris saw by a six, let's analyze this. Michti shlish d'midbaris kamahavi. How much is one third? How much is one third of the midbaris saw? So that'll be arba'in v'tamya. That'll be 48 eggs. We're measuring, we'll say everything is measured in beos, in betzos, in eggs. So that'll be 48 eggs. The ilu otva shisin utlas, and yet the extra will be what? The extra will be 63. So therefore it can't be a third over that. The elishlish the Yerushalmis. Therefore it must be one third of the Yerushalmi saw. Shlish di de kamahabi. How much is one third of that? Chamshin v'tamya, 58. Nichi tilsa, minus a third. V'ilu otfa, and yet now the additional amount will be shesin utlas. Shesin utlas. Right? V'ela, so we'll say, therefore, those numbers don't make sense either. V'ela de tzipori, therefore it must be the tzipori saw. Shlish di da kamahabi. So how much is the one third of that amount? Shivin, that's 70. Nichi chada, minus a third. V'elu otfa, and the additional amount will be what? Samach Gimel, 63. Ella Amr of Yirmiyah, Hachim, so we'll say the point the Gemara is making is these numbers don't seem to line up. Therefore, Ella Amr of Yirmiyah, Hachim, this is what it means to say. Nimtzeis, Sa'ah Shal Tzipori, Yisera Al Midbaris. Therefore, it turns out that a Sa'ah, a Tzipori Sa'ah, is greater than an Egyptian Sa'ah, Kariv Lishlish Shelah, by more than a third of itself. Ushlish Shelah, and a third of itself, is karav lemechza de midbaris, is the equivalent of a half of the midbar sa'ah. Maskev l'ravina, midi karav katani. So why do you keep saying karav? Does the Braisa say anything about karav? Ela amar ravina, rather this is what it means to say hachi kamar. Nimtzeis shlish sel tzipori, biva odios shal rebi, yisera amechza shal midbaris shlish beitza. Rather, Ravina says this is what it means to say. Follow this, Rabbi Sa'id. A third of the tzipori sa'ah, including the additional measures of Rebbe that we had earlier in the Gemara, turns out to be more than a half of the Midbaris Sa'ah by about a third of a Beitza. Okay, so hopefully those measurements are helpful to you. Right? But the idea, all the Gemara is trying to understand, remember, this is all by Tumas Ochlin. I just want to point out, by the way, just remember, there's also another ramification of this, in addition to Tumas Ochlin, which is actually Choshen Mishpat. This actually has a dinner of business law, because it's important to remember, if you are buying produce in different locales, it's interesting to know that a sa'ah in one locale was different than a sa'ah in another locale. So, for example, if you were going to Tzipori, and you were buying a sa'ah of produce, and you were from Yerushalayim, so remember, buyer beware, it's important to understand that when you go ahead and you buy a sa'ah in Tzipori, that's different than a sa'ah in Yerushalayim. So to understand the conversions was exceptionally important. So yes, it has ramifications, we get into it through Tumas Ochlin, but it has a major business ramification as well. Fine, Tanur Abanas, now the Gemara quotes a braisa. Reishis Arisosechem. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, Reishis Arisosechem Chala Tarimu Truma. So this is talking about the fact that when you go ahead and you have a dough, you have a mixture, you have to go ahead and separate out a portion of Chala for the Kohen. Also remember, the Kohen gets two portions pretty much from everything. Because remember, he gets a portion from the grain, that's Truma, and then he gets a portion from the dough, that's Chala. That's Chala. So the Gemara says, Reishis Arisosechem. So interestingly enough, however, what's fascinating is there's not a shear of challah, right? The Torah tells us that you have to take an arisa, literally is what? An arisa literally is the mixing bowl. So when you're kneading in the mixing bowl, you have to take from the coin and give to him. How much? Reishis Arisosechem, Amud Beis, Kidei Arisosechem. So how much of a mixture do you have to have in order to go ahead and give challah? So it's interesting, meaning, because there's one thing we know for sure, which is, if I'm making for myself a little rokula, right? I'm making for myself a tiny little roll. So, do I have to take challah from that? Obviously, we would assume that it's only if you're making something significant, which then tells us what? Or it leads us to the question, what is halachically significant? So the Gemara says, v'kama arisosechem, so how much is considered to be your mixing bowl? How much do you have to make in order for it to be significant? Kidei isas hamidbar, like the amount of dough that they would have made in the desert. V'kama arisas hamidbar, So how much was the Torah say? Remember, a lot of these things are modeled after what we did when we were in the desert. So how much was a significant dough in the desert? Dichsiv ha'omer asiris ha'efahu. Because the Gematria will say, now remember, we weren't making all that much dough in the desert, because remember in the desert we had man. But at the same time, the man came down in a particular measurement, and therefore we would assume that the measurement of the man tells us what a significant measurement is. So what was the measurement of the man? Va'omer asiris ha'efa. The man was an omer, which was a tenth of an efa. Mikhan amru zayin revoim kemach va'od chayeves bechal. So we'll say, this gives us a shear of an omer, which is a tenth of an epha, and for our purposes, a tenth of an epha means 7/4 of a kav, meaning 7 1/4 measurements of a kav ultimately is the asiris ha'epha, it's 1/10 of the epha, and that is the amount that, let's say, for some reason it made sense for the Gemara to phrase it that way, 7 1/4, whatever the reason. So 7 1/4 of a kav, that's the amount of dough that is chayiv in challah. So the Gemara says, Mikan Amru, based on, Mikan Amru, Zayin Revaim Kemach, Va'od Chayev Espechala, 7 1/4 of a Kav are Chayev in Chala, Shehein Vav Sheiru Shamios, which are six Revaim, 6 Jerusalem Revaim, Shem Hei Shal Tzipori, these are just the relative measurements, which are 5 Tzipori measurements. Mikan Amru, from here we learn, Ha'ochel Kamidazu, one who eats this amount, so we'll say one who eats an omer, which is a tenth of an epha, which is seven quarters of a kav, which ultimately is 6 1/4 of a Jerusalem kav and 5 1/4 of a Jerusalem of a Tzipori kav. Whoever eats these amounts, hare ze bari. Whoever eats these amounts ultimately is considered to be a healthy person. Umavorach, and will be blessed. Yes, Ralkein, if he eats more than this, then Ra'avasan. Then you're considered to be a gluttonous individual. Pachos mikan. If you eat less than this, mekul kabameyav. There must be something wrong with you that you can't digest this amount of food. So all the Gemara is saying is, from the fact that this becomes the normative shear from which you would have separated challah, indicates to us what? That this was the normative shear for consumption. Okay? Says the Mishnah. Back to our regularly scheduled program here. So anshe chatzav anshe mirpesas. So I'll say a very interesting case. We've actually had similar cases to this multiple times. So you have people in a chatz and people on a mirpeses. So I'll say, what's the case over here? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Hachi garsinan bar Mishnah, take a look at the first Rashi. He says, Anshe chatz va'anshe mirpeses, velo irvu elu im elu, avar irvu elu latzman, elu latzman. Mirpeses arukahi, v'harbe pischa alios pesuchinlo, Vikulan Yotzim Besulam Aleph Lachatzer, Umimena Lirushus Arabim, Vafa Pikain Ein Ostrin, Hoil Vigavomir Peses Yod, Shelo Holchu Besulam, Ella Lahakil. Suppose I listen to this. So what do you have over here? You essentially have two residences. You have a Chatzer, and in the Chatzer is a structure. The structure has a lower level in which people live, and a higher level, an upper level which people live. That's called the Mirpeses. The Mirpeses is more than Yotfakim off the ground. And what happens? People live on the upper level, have their own ledge where they can enter into, and what? They have a ladder that leads into the Rosh Sarabin. So what's the case over here? I will say the two areas, which are considered to be independent areas, each made an area for themselves. So the people in the Mirpeses, the people on the second story, made an area amongst themselves. What does that allow them to do? What does that allow them to do? Carry onto their, what we'll call it, I don't know what the right word for it is, not a terrace, I mean, Pesas, right? Balcony, made in this upper terraced area. And so they made their own Erev, and the people in the bottom area made their own Erev. But what? Neither part, they did not make an Erev with each other. So both say, interestingly enough, they don't aser on each other. Why? Because they're separate, independent areas. So remember, do they have the right to make a joint Erev? Absolutely, because they open into each other. Do they have to make an Erev, a joint Erev? Absolutely not. So I will say, watch this. So Anshei Chatzer, those are the people of the lower level, but Anshei Mirpes, the people of the upper level, Sheshachachu, velo Erevu, and they did not make a joint Erev. So I will say, the halacha is, Kol Shegavoa Yutfachim Limirpeses. So I will say, anything that is within the courtyard, that is higher than 10 Tfachim, is the property, or I should say, has the rights of that, are given to the people of Yirmir Pesach. Because the assumption is what? We'll challenge this assumption, but the assumption is that because it's higher than 10 Tvachim, then what? It's easier for the people of the upper story to use it than the lower story. Pachos Mikan, however, again, if it's less than 10 Tvachim, then the rights of that area are given to what? Are given to the people of the Chatzin. I will say again, if you have the picture books, always keep your picture books handy. So again, you could see over here, this is picture 274. So here you see, a picture. So here you have your chatzer. No, wrong picture. Here you have your chatzer. You have these doorways over here, the people living on the lower level. You have the mir pases and the people opening up to that. So the Gemara now is suggesting that anything that's in the chatzer that's taller than 10 tefachim ultimately becomes the property of, I want to be clear, not the property. We're not asking in terms of ownership rights, we're asking in terms of usage rights. So anything higher than 10 tefachim will become the property of the people of the mir pases, because the assumption is that because it has that height, it's easier for them to use, as opposed to anything lower than 10 tefachim will ultimately become have the usage rights of the people of the chatzar. So the Mishnah says, Chulios habar v'hasela. Furthermore, if you have chulios habar, chulios habar means when you dug a bar, when you dug a pit, so what would happen? You would often deposit the dirt of the pit along the rim of the pit. So that builds up a rim. So who gets the usage rights of the rim? So chulios habar v'hasela, or a rock for that matter, same thing. Gavoa masar tefachim, if they are 10 tefachim high, limir pesas. Then the usage rights go to the people of the upper story. Pachos mikan, less than 10 tefachim, l'chatzer. Goes to the chatzer. And I will say, now the Gemara gives a caveat. B'medram amurim, when do we say that if something is in the chatzer, but it's more than 10 tefachim high, the usage rights go to the people of the Yirmir Pesach? That's only when? Bismucha. That's only when the object that we are referring to is what? Is in close proximity to the Yirmir Pesach. Aval b'mufleges, but if the object itself is far away from the Yirmir Pesach, then what? Afilu gavoy yutfachim l'chatzer. We'll say that, so that makes sense. Meaning the only time that it's considered to have ease of use by the people of the Yirmir Pesach is when they could use it essentially from the Yirmir Pesach. But if they'd have to go down into the chatzer to go ahead and use the object in what? Then that's not considered to be accessible or ease of use for the people of the Yirmir Pesach. Ve'ezo hisimucha. So what is the definition of samach? What is the definition of close to the Yirmir Pesach? The Gemara says, kol she'inu rechoka arba tefachim. Anything that is not more than 4 tefachim in distance. So also what comes out from this Mishnah is the following. That lemaisa, if you have a case of two independent areas in the same chatzar, that each made their own independent eruv, but did not enter into a joint eruv. So how do you determine who gets the usage rights of particular items within the chatzar itself? So the Gemara says we look at two things. We look at height and we look at proximity. Anything that is within, that is 10 tefachim high, that has height, we assume has an easier usage by the people of the Yirmir Pesach, and therefore is given to the people of the Yirmir Pesach. Assuming what? Assuming that is close. Excuse me. And what's the definition of close to the Yirmir Pesach? Within 4 tefachim. Says the Gemara. Pshita lezebe Pesach ulezebe Pesach. So the Gemara says, it's pashit, if what? If both of them have, let's say now we're going to deal with the following case. Let's say you have a situation now where both areas, the Yirmir Pesach and the Chatzer, have the same ease of use of a particular area. That's what it means. Lezeba Pesach or Lezeba Pesach means that it's easy for both of them to access a particular area. It literally means for this one it's an opening and for that one it's an opening. Look at Rashi just a moment. Lezeba Pesach, Beis Chatzeros, Shelo Irvu, Yeish Rishus Achas Smucha Lohen, V'nocha Lishtein Lishtamish Baba, Kipesach Zu, Shehu Noach Likanis. So we'll say, let's say you have an area, so again, you have an area in between two Chatzeros, and they both have the same ease of use of this area. So the Gemara says, Hainu Cholon Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. That's the case of the opening between two chatzeros. So as I said, we've had this case already. And what's the case? The case where you have two chatzeros that open up into each other. They do not have a joint eruv. There's an area that's accessible to both of them. So what's the halacha? Neither can use the area. Why? because essentially they assur on each other. Because since they don't have a joint Eruv, and they both have equal accessibility and ease of use to a joint area, lamaisa, they assur on each other and they can't use it. Okay, next. Right, leze bizriga, or leze bizriga, hainu kosel b'shebein beis chatzeros. So what's like case number two, is what happens if you have an area in between two chatzeros, right? This is lav davka right now, our case where of a merpesis and a chatzer. Let's say just stam a case of two chatzeros. So let's say I have a case of two chatzeros, and there's an area in between them, and what? Both can only access the area, how? Through zrika, by throwing. So we'll say again, if you have the picture book, this is picture 276. So the easiest way to illustrate this case is you have two chatzeros, and in between the two chatzeros is a wall, and the wall is higher than 10 tefachim. The wall is higher than 10 tefachim. So the assumption in that case is the way that each would access the wall is through zrika, is through throwing an object on top of it. So we'll say, in other words, both have access, but it's not easy access. It's not easy access. So what's the halacha in that case? Hainu, Kosel Shebein Beis Chatzeros. So we'll say that's the case of the wall in between two Chatzeros. And what's the halacha in the wall between two Chatzeros? Look at Rashi. Lezeb Izriko, Lezeb Izriko. Kol Rishu Shebein Rishuyos. Kashe Tashmish Lishneyen. Lezegava Yur, Lezegava Asara. Ve'inam Yecholim Lishtamish Elab Izriko. Holom Iboili. Dahinu Kosel Shebein Beis Chatzeros. Ve'isuran Mefurash Ve'mishnah. Diktani. So we already had this. What do we have in this case? This was case memorable site of the wall in between two chatzeros. That's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, and there's fruit on top of it. So remember, what can you do with your fruit? You can go up there and eat it, but you can't bring it down. So most like, what the Gemara is going through now is all the cases. There are some cases that are easy, some cases that are more difficult. See if you have a case of an area in between two chatzeros where what? You have ease of access. Both, right? Both the area can be used by both. So for the simple example of that case would be, you have a wall in between two chatzeros, and the wall is less than 10 tefachim high. Both have ease of access. What happens when both have ease of access? Neither can use it. Why can neither use it? Remember, because they don't have an eruv with each other, and therefore they restrict each other. What happens if you have an area in between two chatzeros that both have access to, but it's difficult to use it? We already have that case as well. Depending on the dimensions of the wall in between them, they may both be able to use the area on top, but what? But in a very limited fashion. Next case. What about lezeh b'shilshul or lezeh b'shilshul? We'll say, what happens if there's an area in between two chatzeros, and both can only use that area how? By lowering something down. Right, so meaning, now let's say, so the easiest way to illustrate this case is where you have two chatzeros, and they're divided by a ditch. They're divided by a bar. And the use that each one has is each can lower something down into it. Hainu charetz shebein beis chatzeros. So we'll say that's the case of charetz, that's the case of the ditch in between two chatzeros. And again, that's similar to the case of the kosel between two chatzeros, where what? Since both have access, but what? They have not made an eruv with each other. What ends up happening? They asur on each other, and neither could use that area. Now we'll say, now here's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Lezeb pesach or lezeb izrika. What happens if I say if you have an area in between two chatzeros, and one has easy access to the area, that's what it's called, the Pesach. One has easy access to the area, and what? The other could only access the area through throwing, which is another way of saying what Rabbi Osai? More difficult access. So an area in between two chatzeros, one has easy access, one has difficult access. Who gets it? The Gemara says, that's an easy one. Hainu diraba barav huna amar Rav Nachman. So that's the statement of Rabba Barav Huna in the name of Rav Nachman. So we'll say, what did Rabba Barav Huna? What did Rabba Barav Huna say in the name of Rav Nachman? So we'll say, that's what we said before, that Lemaisa, when you have a situation, he illustrated this case of where you have a wall in between two chatzeros. For one chatzer, the wall is pretty much even with the ground. And for the other chatzer, it's 10 tefachim. So who gets the usage at the top of the wall? The chatzer that's more even with the wall. Why? Because Rabbi Barav Huna said in the Rav Nachman that whenever you have a situation of two areas that have access to an area, and for one chatzer you have ease of access, and for one area it's more difficult access, who do we give the area to? To the one who has ease of access. Similarly, lezeb pesach or lezeb shilshul. Similarly, again, if you have two chatzeros, both open up into an area, but for one, use of the area is very easy, and for the other, they can only use the area how? By lowering something down. So we'll say this would be the reverse case. right, of where ultimately you have a ditch, but the ditch by one is level with the one chatzer, and it's not level with the other. So Hainu, Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman. That's the case of Rav Shizvi. What did Rav Shizvi say? Rav says, Rashi just points, we had this before. Same idea. Rav Shizvi is saying the same thing as Rav Barafuna. Rav Barafuna, just in a different case. So Rav Barafuna was talking about a wall. Rav Shizvi is talking about a ditch. But the logic is the same, which is that whenever you have two areas that open up into a common area, both have access. But one has easier access, one has more difficult access. We award usage rights of the area for Shabbos to who? To the person who has ease of access. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lezeb b'shulshul, the lezeb is rika mai. Ah, see, here's where it gets interesting. So what happens, Rav Elsa, if what? You have an area in between two chazeros, and neither has real ease of use, right? One of them could use it by throwing, meaning that they could throw an object on top of it, and one of them could use it how? By lowering an object on top of it. So then the shayla is mai, who gets the rights in that kind of situation? Rav Elsa, if you want to see an example of this, this would be, this is 277. This is picture 277. So you can see over here, so Rabosai, the picture is a little bit hard to, at least it was hard for me to make out originally, but you can see over here where you have a guy standing, you have two chaseros, one guy is standing below over here, one guy is standing on top. Now, interestingly enough, the guy in the bottom is looking at a wall that's more than 10 tefachim high, and the guy on the top, his chatzar is at an elevation of more than 10 tefachim. So essentially, each are more than 10 tefachim from the top of the wall. The guy in the bottom would have to throw to the top of the wall, the guy in the top would have to go ahead and lower down into the wall. So both said, the shaila is over here in this case, where neither has what we call ease of access, to the top of the wall. I will say, even though, again, remember, 10 tefachim is not a very high amount. But the idea is, it's not level. You'd have to exert yourself in order to go ahead and get something to the top of the wall. So the shaila is now, one has it by throwing, one has it by lowering. Who is considered to have the ease of access in that situation? Because remember, the principle we seem to be looking at is, whoever has the ease of access gets the usage rights. So up until now, the cases have been clear as to who has the ease of access. Now the shaila is, when you're dealing with throwing versus lowering, does one have ease of access over the other? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Shnehan Asurin. Rav says, no, in that case, both are Asur. Rav will say, why are both Asur? Because the truth is, remember, Rav will say, essentially, when you have a case where neither has ease of access, that's the equivalent to what case? Where both have ease of access. Essentially, they both have the same level of accessibility to the top of the wall. So what happens when both have the same level of accessibility to the top of the wall, Rav Elsai? They aser on each other. So Rav says they both aser. So Amar Shmuel says, Ashnosnin oso lezeh shebishilshul. We give it to the one who can access the wall through lowering. Why? Shelezeh tashmisho benachos, ulezeh tashmisho bekasheh. Because interestingly enough, Rav Shmuel will say that apparently lowering an object onto the wall has easier use than throwing on top. Because Shmuel will say, again, the principle that pretty much we all agree with is that what? Is that lemaisa, whenever you have two areas and one ultimately has ease of access, one has more difficulty of access, we give it to the one who has ease of access. And Shmuel seems to say that the shilshul, that the idea of lowering it onto something, is greater ease of access than throwing something on top. Says the Gemara. All right, well, so actually, we'll stop over here. We'll stop over here for today. Bye, Tzinan.